Our next speaker.
Leaders from several Arizona tribes recently gathered in Phoenix to share with the Independent Redistricting Commission their desires and concerns. The group met at the Heard Museum, where they were surrounded by rugs woven by their ancestors. Leonard Gorman spoke for the Navajo Nation. He reminded the commission that they are bound under the Voting Rights Act to create a new congressional district that represents the population. Gorman would like to see at least 60% Native American.
Navajo Nation is asking the Redistricting Commission to respect that number so that when the plan that comes out in which Navajo Nation is located, that we meet that 64% Native American population.
Hopi Chairman Leroy Singoitawa was in agreement.
You know, we've been here for a long time, and we want you to understand and the state of Arizona understand that we are citizens of the state of Arizona.
To understand the redistricting issue, it's helpful to go back in time. In the 1880s, the federal government set aside more than 2 million acres in northeastern Arizona for the Hopis. Over the years, the massive Navajo reservation grew to surround the Hopi tribe. While there were times of peace and intermarriage, encroachment eventually turned into hostility over religious sites and grazing rights. Lomayam Tawa Ishi is a Hopi historian and head of indigenous studies at Northern Arizona University. He says the time the first congressional districts were drawn decades ago coincided with the discovery of natural resources on tribal land.
The discovery of some of the richest coal beds on Earth in the American Southwest also, I guess you might say, influenced the political organization, how Indians were to be managed in a place where there was large levels of uranium, coal, and water.
In the mid-1960s, Peabody Energy signed separate and competing contracts with Navajo and Hopi to mine coal on tribal lands and pump water. During that time, the federal government prevented the Navajo and Hopi tribes from building in contested areas until the land disputes could be resolved.
One of the popular theories is that big business in cahoots with some of the tribal governments may have played a part in orchestrating a perceived conflict between Navajo and Hopis in order to get the goodies, so to speak.
So 2 decades ago, thinking they could increase their political clout, the Hopi tribe asked to be in a separate congressional district. NAU political science professor Michael Lerma says this move didn't serve them well.
So if you're able to carve them up and put one section here, one section there, you'll create basically a minority voice that doesn't have much control over the agenda.
But in the last few years, the Hopi and Navajo found they have more to gain by working together. The tribes have rallied to fight snowmaking out of reclaimed wastewater on the San Francisco peaks. At least 13 tribes in the region consider the mountains sacred. Historian Lomayam Tawa Ishi.
We're seeing allies being built in a unifying effort to stop the use of reclaimed wastewater to produce artificial snow.
The tribes also want a unified voice when dealing with the federal government. State Senator and former Navajo President Albert Hale says the Navajo and Hopi dispute is a thing of the past.
And I think this is evident of the fact that leadership in both tribes are willing to put this behind and do something that is for the benefit of all Indian nations within the state of Arizona.
Hale looks forward to the day when a full-blooded Native American is elected to Congress. And now the chance of that happening is greater with more tribes in one district. The Arizona Redistricting Commission will hold more public comment meetings in the coming weeks. Because of Arizona's history of discrimination against Latinos, the final map then must be submitted to the Department of Justice for approval. In Flagstaff, I'm Laurel Morales.